Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Mike Haggerty for Vicky. 96 dead, countless still missing. That is the update this morning from Maui, where the destruction is unfathomable. It is not, as I said before the news, the largest or deadliest wildfire in U.S. history. The Camp Fire was the deadliest in California history. This has surpassed that. The deadliest wildfire in U.S. history, the Peshtigo Fire in Wisconsin, killed 1,152. That was in 1871. The governor of Hawaii reporting that the search for the unaccounted for is just getting underway and that the death toll is no doubt going to climb even higher. All this as new details are emerging about the ferocity of last week's fires on Maui. Governor Josh Green announced on Sunday that only 3% of the devastated area has been searched. He also said that the fire spread so rapidly, at a rate of a mile a minute, that it was practically impossible for people to get out of harm's way. And the governor reported that the damage is estimated, for now, to be in the $6 billion range, and that as well is expected to climb. Jonathan Shiroma Masaki knows Maui well. It's where he's from. After growing up on Maui, he served a career in the military and then worked and lived here in Sacramento for years as a television reporter. He's recently moved home to Hawaii, where he is a traffic reporter for Hawaii News Now. Welcome to Insight, Jonathan.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
So I understand that you are personally worried for some family members because of the Maui fires.
Well, and sadly, you know, my cousin lost his in-laws and his sister-in-law and her son. That was discovered just late last week, and we do have one second cousin that is still missing and not accounted for. So yes, there is a lot of concern in my family this morning.
We are so sorry for your loss and for your concern. We hope that the missing family member is found safe. I know it's difficult and emotional, but would you walk us through some of what you're feeling right now?
You know, as you kind of just gave the latest, it just affects me all over again. To hear the magnitude of the financial losses, but more so the loss of human life. I don't know how you can really come to terms with just all of that. You know, having covered it as a California National Guard soldier, you know, and the fires that happened here, certainly that touched my heart and broke my heart. But to go to Hawaii, back to Maui, and the very place where you know, we as children just played in the backyard under the mango tree and running around the sugar mill, it has a different emotion to it, because that's all gone. And it's so difficult to sometimes come to terms with just the reality of it all. So it's a mixed emotion, to be quite honest with you, man. I still am trying to process a lot of what's happening.
And you've seen a lot in your career. In the military, you served in Iraq. As a journalist, you covered your fair share of natural disasters. But to see one hit your hometown, that must feel very different.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think that's, you hit the nail on the head right there, because you would never expect this in your own hometown and your where my grandmother's roots are, right in that specific area. And, you know, remembering the family gatherings as a child and the innocence lost now, that those memories are the ones that we're going to have to hold on to, because, quite frankly, it's going to be a very difficult road ahead. And I know everybody knows that. And as more details become available, it's very clear that there's a lot that needs to be done yet. And it's heartbreaking.
We're hearing just how ferocious those winds were last week. Can you share with us some of the topography, the geography of Maui that might have in fact contributed to the fires?
Well, you know, the area that my family members lived in were on, you know, kind of the hillside. There's a high school there called Lahaina Luna, which is at the top of the mountain. And as that winds blew down, you know, it is very close to the shoreline. So it's not a very steep descent, but it is a gradual descent nonetheless. And it goes, you know, from the mountain side and then all the way to the sea level. So it's a gradual decline there, very heavily populated with old residents. And I don't mean old in the sense of, I mean more like longtime residents and family members who grew up there, and the generations continue to, you know, we're continuing to live in that area. So it's a very, it's kind of scattered with residential and some commercial and hotel type of settings in that old Lahaina town.
You know, many people know Maui as a vacation destination, but the perspective's very different from that of a person who lives there. Tell Yes. us about your native Maui. What do you love most about it?
You know, and I think it's still going to ring true to today. You go back to Maui, the Maui that I grew up in was a huge sense of ohana. And ohana in the native language, we say olelo Hawaii, which means the language of Hawaii, really means family. And I strongly believe that that spirit of ohana will continue to thrive where everybody concerned with each other and try to help each other out. That's what I remember about Maui. It was, you know, this was in the, I hate to date myself so much, but, you know, to the late 60s, early 70s, when I was a child, Maui was different then, obviously. The old Lahaina town was the way it is kind of now, but not as many resorts there. So, you know, running around barefoot with a puka, which is whole, in your shorts and your t-shirts, and just really not caring about what you look like, but, you know, running from the family home under the mango tree to the beach and just diving in and coming back and just, you know, your grandparents and aunties and uncles telling you, hey, go dry off before you get into the house. That's the real, the innocent memories I have of that area, you know. And on Front Street, there was this old noodle shop that served the noodles in this like cone, like you have, you know, snow cones in, mm-hmm. but they would shove all the noodles in there. Yeah. That's what I'm going to remember.
Mm-hmm. Over the weekend, you posted a video of a song that you played on the piano called the Maui Waltz. Let's yes. hear a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. Jonathan, explain just what the Maui Waltz means to you right now.
You know, Mike, the Maui Waltz is actually a love song, and it speaks about, you know, someone who loses a love in life and did not realize that this sudden loss would happen. And when I was kind of trying to come to terms with all of this and thinking about that song from my childhood, I thought about what we're experiencing right now, that the lyrics go, no one told me that when the dance was through, I'd be losing you. And that's what happened here, is the loss that we feel is humongous, is huge. But the lyrics also go on to say, I hear the Maui Waltz, but it doesn't hurt somehow. The memories that I have will be with me. So play on Maui Waltz.
It's beautiful.
And that's the tune, that's the memory, that's the lyrics that I think all of us on Maui will hold on to, the memories, the good memories of what that island represents is going to help us rebuild and help the people of Maui get back to where we need to be. And I'm sorry, just losing it a little bit here, but
understandable.
That's the essence of what I believe the song will now represent in our lives today.
Jonathan, there are challenges ahead for Maui. What's the one thing you believe is needed most?
You know, in the Hawaiian language, the word malama means to take care. And I believe anybody who truly is from the islands knows that word malama. And I know that as I look, you know, onto some of the coverage, you know, unfortunately, I'm in California as we speak because of some engagements that I had committed to. But when I touch base to my family and hearing what they're doing, and I plan to get back to Maui next week at some point, that spirit of malama, to care, will be what will carry the people of Maui through this. It's going to be challenging. We know that. But I think if all of us come to terms with what, you know, Californians have gone through, the loss of the city of paradise and others that have lost their entire towns and loved ones and whatnot, I really believe that what we saw here in California is going to ring true in Hawaii. And that is that spirit of taking care of each other. And the one thing that and everybody needs to realize is the patience that we need. I know people get frustrated and you want things to happen quickly, but I believe that unity, that Malama will come back and help us make it through this.
And finally, what's the best way, in your view, that people here on the mainland and around the world can help support Maui right now?
You know, thank you for asking about that. I think the key thing is find a reputable nonprofit organization that is reputable, okay? Because, you know, there's going to be some shams that'll come out. And, you know, if you go to, I believe, every news organization has a website that specifies, if you'd like to help the people of Hawaii, here are some resources that you can go through. You know, I know Maui has a few things out. Our website on Hawaii News Now has a website, and I strongly believe that CAP Radio has something like that too. So all I would say is just be very alert, be mindful of who you are getting in contact with, about to reach out. But again, I believe that's the best way to help out the people of Hawaii.
Jonathan Masaki Shiroma is a Maui native, a former Sacramento TV reporter. Jonathan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us this morning.
Mahalo, Mike, and I just want to say to you also, and to everybody at your staff, ahui ho in malama pono. Until we meet again, please take care.
We're all wishing you all the best. Up next, California is sending people and equipment to Hawaii to help with the situation that we here are all too familiar with. The Department of Emergency Services joins us on Insight next. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Mike Haggerty for Vicki Gonzalez.